Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Maybe we do need to, as a fan base, I really include myself in this. I'm scared that we're getting alienated, you know. Say when there's a kid who gets triggered at school and they start behaving in an upset way, and it's actually justified. But the majority of people go, oh, calm down, calm down. And the teacher goes, yeah, actually. And then from afar, people see bits of it and start commenting, and they get... It frustrates the child. It frustrates them in the corner, and they then snap out more. Darren Bent kind of had our back, but then he immediately went, I don't subscribe to owners going on the pitch. That's not really the point here. Don't worry about Marinakis walking on his pitch.
We've got NFFC Colorado, Martin in California, and Jackson from San Diego, a trio who were very disappointed after not only the FA Cup game, but also obviously the Liverpool game, which was a bit of a disaster. Fernando, a Latin American Red fan in love with the greatest club in the East Midlands. I think he's in Ireland right now, because I've seen and followed some of his stuff. So big shout out to Fernando.
Hey, Fernando.
And we've got Leo, Simon's son, Simon's Bahamas Forest, who was out playing in the United Soccer Cup Showcase in Florida recently. And actually, good old Leo had a bit of a voice note question, which I'm hoping that you will answer for me, Matt. Would you be so kind to answer this from Leo from the Bahamas?
Why do you and Matt argue? I thought you guys were friends.
Can you answer that for me, Matt?
Yeah, I'd say it's because we're friends, we're able to argue so constantly, and it doesn't really affect our relationship. I would second to that and say that our relationship has always been like this, and people think that it's arguing, but it's the only way for anyone who knows Chris at all to be able to get through to him in real life, and I'm very used to it.
It's
actually why someone suggested that we did a podcast in the first place, because it's a slightly more energetic and conflicted way of people discussing things. Thanks for your message.
Yeah, well, big shout out to Leo from Bahamas, and Simon.
They're absolutely great people. They follow the podcast. Leo, thanks so much for your message. I'm giving you an honest answer, but I guess the nicer point that's worth taking home is, we're talking about football, and Chris and I have got a very long, lifelong relationship. We rub each other the wrong way. We're like family, and it's because of that we're able to argue. When it comes to it with important things in life, we have each other's backs pretty well, I'd say. Wouldn't you agree, Chris?
Yeah, most of the time. Sometimes you stab me in the back. No, I'm only joking. Most of the time we do. Absolutely, okay? Final bit of the farce all over the world stuff. We have Reese, who was up nice and early for the long drive to Nottingham to see the Forest with his wife. So he drove all the way up for that Liverpool game. Would have been a difficult drive back, I imagine. But big shout out to Reese. And, of course, Mark in Australia, one of our regular contributors. Here comes a rant, he says. Premier League refereeing BS. Penalty by Gomez. Big clubs getting the decisions yet again. Elanga needs to make better decisions and learn to finish. We deserved something from that, and typically and predictably we F it up. Most frustrating game of the season. Yeah, absolute kick in the stomach, gut punch, horrific, really awful feeling after that game. There will be some positives to take out of it, of course, a fantastic performance. But let's I know, Matt, you ranted at me before I went on, I was on Forest Focus on Saturday. And by the way, don't ever, Matt, don't ever message me before I'm about to go on any form of podcast or have any conversation with anyone about anything and wind me up. You messaged me absolute vitriol, calling me a clown, telling me to grow up, saying that I wouldn't complain about the referee decision enough just because I'd messaged you some WhatsApp in a WhatsApp group. You need to just calm down and slow your roll, okay?
There's no roll to slow down, Chris. There's no roll to slow down. You're now pushing the anger you felt, and you're pushing the anger you felt towards that onto myself and the other person in the group, Statsman Will, because you were gearing up to get on Dr. Forest Will. Focus podcast. Dr. Will, you were gearing up and you decide to play Mr. I'm calm and collected. I'm not emotional about Forest or football. You guys need to just chill out. It's not the ref's fault. It's our fault. And it wasn't until that you then went back and saw it, you heard everyone else backing me and Will, that you were like, yeah, it was absolutely rubbish. And you are actually playing this weird, like, not fence sitter, but sort of very measured version of yourself, which is just not very interesting to listen to.
Oh,
you were
very
interesting
in
Forest Focus.
No. I'm sorry.
No, you're going Forest Focus. I'm talking about you.
It's not about that. No, forget
undermining our anger, not being cool about it, and knowing exactly how we felt, and deliberately trying to be non-conventional and this bizarre, faux, mature football fan.
You're an absolute aegis. Yeah. Because the first thing I said when I went on someone else's podcast, I'm not going to just blow up on someone else's podcast, right? I'm not looking for center stage, Mr. Theatre Man, okay? The first thing I said was about the referee. That was the first thing I said, and I mentioned it. And honestly, you know, there were numerous other mistakes that we made in the build of that goal. The referee was a massive controversial situation where he gave the ball back to them. I don't understand it.
No, Chris, you don't now need to go. We're days late. We don't need to talk about the event itself.
Okay, well,
you were making a point about the way I speak to you. We all know how everyone feels about that now. Let's move forward into a more interesting space.
I was going to play the blame game. We've kind of already chewed over the game that's been chewed over before, so there's probably no
real point. Let's do a quick blame game. It's going to be very, very short.
Okay.
I'm submitting Taiwo Awoniyi.
Why?
He took it. He touched it last before McAllister.
Yeah, but Callum Hudson-Odoi didn't clear it first, and then it got into Taiwo's feet. So it was the two of them.
Yeah, but Taiwo kind of ran into it. It was the two of them, but Hudson-Odoi wasn't the one who gave it away.
Hudson-Odoi could have cleared it easier than Taiwo, I think. if you can.
But you're saying he could have. I'm saying that he didn't, and Taiwo got in his way, and then Taiwo blew it.
I think Hudson-Odoi should have cleared it first, rather than Hudson-Odoi had a few moments in defence where he did that.
So you don't blame Taiwo on you.
I blame them both for not clearing the ball. It's simple. It's basics. You clear the ball. It's simple. You're in the back. You're in the 99th minute. It's the last kick of the game. And you decide to let it drift to another player. Get rid of that ball. Easy.
Paul Tierney wins.
Paul Tierney wins the blame game. I agree with you there. Other than that, can I just say the performances from the players overall were absolutely remarkable. I thought Omobamadeli was brilliant.
Amazing. That's what I mean. I absolutely adored all our players, including Taiwo, including Hudson-Odoi. I thought it was
Origi was
man.
Bright. Origi was bright first half. He had a shot just off target. He was good.
You just
good.
Know that he's texting the Liverpool coach and Klopp after the game. And he's got.
Oh, you've already gone down that road. You're already like, I know
he's
messaging
his mates.
Yeah, but
he will be, won't he? He's not going to. It will be. I mean, I don't blame him for it, but I'm not going to pretend to be excited about Origi.
No, hang on.
He's not the future of Forest, and he's not done much for it.
No, but I think he had a really good game, and I think it was a masterstroke from Nuno to put Elanga in the middle to try and run in behind them and get behind their line, and Origi out wide, although Elanga was cut offside numerous times. What's amazing to me is they had 12 corners, and we defended them all immaculately. The goal came from like a second or third phase from the corner, but other than that, we actually defended our corners really, really well. And for the two 21-year-old centre-backs, Omobamadeli stepped into midfield loads of times to cut out some of their passes. Murillo was brilliant as well. Toffolo and Williams had a reasonably good game. I think Williams was brilliant on that side. Diaz had to switch at one point. I just think it's so frustrating to see us have such a good defensive game and yet no real offensive game. and at the same time have that controversial decision at the end, and at the same time not clear lines. There's so many things that pile up, but that's football.
It's now been in the media. Even Paul Tierney's been put onto VAR this weekend, which is a nothing point, really, because it could easily have been going onto VAR this weekend anyway. Let's just have a chat about the fact, the rhetoric that is building around Forest. I've started to think we're alienating ourselves, but I feel like we have every right to. And I challenge any club's fan base to not feel the same as us in our situation. There's been some brilliant posts, some great stuff from Forest Fan TV about the amount of things gone against us and being very measured, debating whether actually there is a disproportionate lack of rubs of the green, as it went, going our way. And the problem is there's too many fans, there's too many Natalie Sawyer on TalkSport framing the conversation with a snigger, like we were all, like they don't even open the debate for a fair thing. They go, oh, here we go. Apparently, like, the use of language is very much putting us in a position of weakness and a place of like we're whiny little Nottingham Forest. And it ties back to what I was saying a few weeks ago. The problem is we are a threat because we aren't like so many other mid-table Premier League teams because of what the potential is. And because we do have an owner, Jurgen Klopp thinks that he's some football maverick. Marinakis is the maverick and he is the guy we love. Marinakis is the one that doesn't care about people laughing in his face while he drives our club back to happier times. And people need to remember that. He did not storm on the pitch, and it has been debunked some of the things said about him. Right, and again, in his culture, in Greek football, it's not as controversial. There's a snootiness of British football and British culture. There is a snootiness to it. I'm a patriot. I do love this place. But they're picking because he's got a beard, because he's big, and because he behaves in a way that we're not used to. Yet Jurgen Klopp and Conte, Mourinho can all have personalities. All right, they're football managers, you'll say. It's their place. But is it? Or is it just how you know it? If people aren't willing to accept difference and change, that's what I find interesting. Marinakis is an absolute legend. He has Forest back more than most people.
I suppose the question that I have often, apart from, of course, I agree with you when you talk about the media and how they portray us and the narrative around Nottingham Forest. I know, you've had your moments.
They say that we're portraying ourselves like that, and I'd agree, but we're being almost cornered. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, to a degree, yes, I would agree with you there. Unfortunately, at the end of the day and at the end of the season, all these moments will be forgotten and it'll come down to how many results we have got and how high up the table we are and whether we've got a deduction. And the problem
with Chris,
hang on.
Okay.
The problem I have with where you're going with this and talking about Marinakis running, I don't mind Marinakis being angry, getting on the pitch. I don't think it does us any good, but I don't mind him doing it.
Why doesn't it do us any good? Why aren't you letting me finish my point?
Why aren't you? I'm halfway through a through line of my point. You've spent 45 seconds on each point you've had there to build up to about 3 minutes.
But there's just nuance to what you're saying that is completely.
There's no nuance because I haven't finished my point. So let me get to it. The problem I have is none of this will matter. It's important talking points. The referee decision is a massive talking point and it's been chewed over for days. How they portray us in the media is a massive talking point. Yes, we've hired Clattenburg to do something I don't know what, and that may be a bit jokey. We do come across a bit silly, but Marinakis stormed the pitch, that's not a problem. None of these things are important to me right now, Matt, because the only thing I'm thinking about is how do Forest stay up with or without a deduction? Luton have lost 4 games in a row and we haven't quite taken advantage of that. And you can say it's due to silly mistakes at the end of the game, it's due to refereeing decisions, it's due to, you can talk about the media slagging us off, none of that will matter at the end of the season. We'll be forgotten in the Championship like Leeds, Leicester and Southampton were this season, and I don't want to be, because we are a good team, we have a good side and we have good performances in us. So the only question I have for you, Matt, is where do we go from here to improve stuff on the pitch? Forget the refereeing decisions, we're not going to get them all, that's going to f***ing happen. Where do we go from here to beat Brighton?
We don't know, because we can keep doing what we're doing, but it's a huge amount of might going to be required from our playing staff and from our coaching staff and our playing staff. I think they can do it. I'm sure they will. But the other thing in addition to that, because they have already been playing well, They have already been rising above previous mistakes. The reason Marinakis and Clattenburg thing is happening, also a laughing point at the minute, but I still believe is a brilliant chess move. And you're starting to hear it already from big speakers in the business that actually maybe there's more going on than we've realized, and that it's a smart move.
What's a smart move? Sorry, no. What's a smart move? Why is it smart? What does it do? How does it benefit us?
Because look at the extra... Because it benefits us because it puts a huge amount of pressure now on refereeing decisions against Forest just by the noise, laugh or not laugh. There's noise. There's pressure. There's Clattenburg. Even the people at Big Pundits are starting to go, what's his name? Alan Pardew is talking against his fellow comrades at TalkSport about how actually it's quite a good move and it's smart and all over Europe. It's only in the UK we see it as this weird new thing. It's change. Marinakis has done it because it's putting pressure. Now Forest managers and owners can't get fined because Clattenburg can go out and say all this stuff and put pressure on them and no one gets any fines. Do you know what I mean?
The point you made at the end there is probably the point I take on board the most. If Clattenburg speaks out about it rather than the managers and the players, then fair enough. But that's not going to happen. It happened that Clattenburg spoke about it, but our players and our managers and our coaching staff are still speaking about it. We had Morgan Gibbs-White put out an Instagram post there on the day after we lost to Man United with exact carbon copy pictures of what happened to Van Dijk in the League Cup and what happened to us at the end of that game. We had Nuno talk about very slightly, but did talk about refereeing decisions after the game. And the thing is, at the end of the day, Matt, you're right. If it takes the pressure off them to talk about it and it gets Clattenburg to talk about it and be this sort of media refereeing host for us somewhat rather than actually trying to influence games, because we can't do that. Well, that's not possible and it hasn't happened. The big question is, what the hell are we going to do on the pitch? How are we going to defend better?
How are you
going to clear the ball better? The refereeing decisions are a disgrace. We know that, right? Right back to when Bolly got that sending off there 2 months ago against Bournemouth, which was disgusting. And things have gone from bad to worse over and over again. And we know all that. I want to know how we're going to improve our 2024 form from one win in 7 Premier League games. Tell me that now. And don't talk about referees. Okay.
The boys are playing well. And everyone knows that Taiwo should have kicked it. Everyone knows that Bamadeli should have cleared his lines against Aston Villa. Nico Dominguez almost...
Cut out the individual conversations you're having with me about individual players and get back to strategy, formation, passion, motivation. How does Nuno get this team up off the floor this week after 2 late goals in an FA Cup fifth round to get us to a quarterfinal and a big Liverpool game in which we lost last minute at the death, both of them? How does he pick this team up off the floor?
It's to do with contracts. The players have got their pride and their professionalism, but I need to understand that they'll have to get us back out of the Championship if we go down. And I'm not sure that that's the case. Ideally, they'll be the ones having to play next season. That would be a rocket up the arse. Not a rocket up the arse. They don't need a rocket up the arse. They just need to be given confidence to maintain what they're doing somehow. Like those AFCON players come back, are they going to be coming back excited, do you reckon? Or do you reckon they're going to be like, yeah, I'm out of here. This has not been a great move. I've had a great year. I've got paid. There's a lot psychologically that's not to do with Forest, that's to do with the way football is contracted and managed that now buys into this. We've got 10 games left.
11.
We've got 10 games left and we need 11. Nuno to... 11. Nuno needs to...
Look, Matt, I know the answer to this question that I've just asked you. We have to become an away team, okay? We've got 5 home games left. One of them is against Man City. We've got 3 away games against the bottom 3 all below us. In fact, 4 away games against all the teams around us. Everton, Luton, Burnley, Sheffield United. We have to go and win 3 out of 4 of those, I think. And I think we can beat Brighton this weekend. I think we can, and we have to go for it. We can't sit back on our laurels. We have to be the Forest that went to Newcastle and skin them alive.
Yeah. Well, let's hope we do. Let's hope we do. I think... I just think the problem with where we're at now, and I really hate, we have that mentality that with every negative result, let alone decision or goal conceded, every negative result now is going to have significantly greater impact for some reason from here on in, with it being the last 11 games of the season. And I question the mentality of a lot of our players, actually. Not because it's bad, but just because of the way it's evolved. Specifically this season, but including the beginning of last season, like I'm I'm anxious. I feel sorry for Nuno, and I feel sorry for our fans, and I feel sorry for our players. Like you said, Murillo and Omobamadeli are just an absolute inspired revelation, and that should be celebrated. But this is going to be tough, mate. I think this is going to be really, really tough. We're starting to say it. People are talking about, well, if we can't beat Luton, we deserve to go down. If we can't beat, and I'm like, well, yeah. And I think that's people resigning themselves to do maybe too much expectation, was it? Bought all these amazing players. But I mean, Sangare, got 11 games left. Like, all anyone can say about this £30 million striker is, oh, he was great against
striker. He's not
Newcastle.
A striker, he's a midfielder. Sorry.
Yeah, but he was great in one game.
Yeah, but you just called him a striker.
I didn't mean to call him a striker. I'm talking about signing. I didn't mean to say striker. I didn't.
Okay,
my
look,
point is I'm talking about an overall feel to his things not really clicking into place. And for some reason, that, sadly for him, it just shows what comes when you get a player with a big price tag and a lot of expectation.
Yeah, but Sangare has been good when he's been on the pitch of late. Like the West Ham game, Newcastle
of late.
Game. But he's injured.
He's been injured since those games. That's what I say. It's an overall thing that's not clicked into place. You've named two games. What about all the games before that?
Aston Villa at home. He was brilliant in that game. Anything else? Your memory's not as good as mine, because if it was as good as mine, then you and I wouldn't be having a conversation about what happens with the mentality coming towards the end of the season. Nothing happens with the mentality. The players are professionals. They're in the training ground with the staff, talking about process for each game as it comes. And we can get ourselves out of this. And I'll tell you why. Because perfect examples of that were last season. Two big slumps in the season. One was actually in February, March. Massive slump. And we didn't think we'd get out of it. And by the time we hit April and May, we hit the ground running and did it. I did a bit of research, and this isn't about Steve Cooper.
Ooh.
It's about the team specifically at stages in the season. Last season, after 17 games, I'm pretty sure we had about 14 or 15 points. This season, after 17 games, awful start, looked like we were even doing worse, we had about 14, 15 points, similar amount. Steve Cooper got sacked, obviously. Nuno came in and picked up a couple of results. Basically, what I'm trying to say to you is we were in as much dire straits in terms of points last season as we are this season. The difference is obviously the deduction. But we have worse teams in the league this season in terms of Burnley and Sheffield United. They should be gone. And Luton are doing okay, but realistically, they don't have the same points total that, you know, some of the other teams did last season. So I think we've a big chance, even with the deduction, if we get one. And at this stage in the season, we were in a big slump last year. And what happened? We picked it up and started picking up results away and at home. Big results. And we can do it again. And that's my point is, it doesn't matter. You won't know anything until the next two or three games are played, because all of a sudden, Forest could win two, three games in a row. They could. And then, before you know it, you're looking back over your shoulder and the lads behind in the backseat are going, what's going on? We can do this. So I think that we get very reactive after a win, and we get very reactive after a loss or two, particularly with the controversy on Saturday. But I think we have a big chance to get out of this.
Glad you said that, because I've fallen into quite a negative slump. I hear a lot of people being positive about it, and I'm grateful for it, because that's really nice. It's healthy. It's mature. But I am an emotional fan, and this dates back before my chat things earlier about referees and stuff. I'm talking right back to when we couldn't beat, I think the Burnley game and then that Luton draw, the two of them. I honestly had deep feelings of, I just didn't buy it.
It just drives me insane to go back to those two results.
I know it does, but it drives me insane. Chris.
So much has happened since then.
My feelings have never changed since then, is my point. I've never suddenly gone, I was wrong back then.
They have changed. And I could tell you how, like, I can actually tell you what you thought. Because when we beat Newcastle and Man United in the space of 4 days, we were a few points clear and we didn't know about the deduction just yet. And you were probably looking at that going, actually, Luton and Burnley games are well in the past now and they don't matter anymore because we now have a bit of a cushion. Then the deduction happened, we got back in the slump, we lost a few games in a row, then we beat West Ham and it all seems possible again. Do you know what I mean? Things change so fast in the season. You just have to get to the next game.
I'm saying I have never been able to move since those games. And even when we've done well, I've registered. It was apparent when we did that episode about Everton with Miss Rolling In. Three of you were very positive. You went, oh, if we don't win
you
this...
You brought this up 1,000 times. But what about after
Man
United?
Not 1,000 times. It's the second time. It's the second time.
Yeah, but the second
okay,
time...
Okay, Chris, we're going around in circles.
Yeah, we are. Sort of,
clearly, what we've shown our listeners today is that we are exacerbated as everyone else about what happened against Liverpool, right?
Yeah.
I'm annoyed. I'm bored of the Klopp thing before that game. I think it's just a joke how much of a weird show-off he is. I don't like him. As I don't know him, obviously. I'm talking about in the context of fans watching football. He seems to have hoodwinked everyone. He's this great guy. I bet he's a great guy.
He's a super manager.
It just riles me up. The way he speaks to people and he's passive-aggressive. And he didn't say one thing about what happened to us.
Well, I've got a newsflash for you. I can see the future if you want me to help you out with this. Liverpool aren't going to win the league. They're not going to win the league. Man City are going to win the league. Man City are just superior in every way. And I mean that. Liverpool are overachieving massively. Arsenal are overachieving massively. Man City haven't even gone into third gear. They're just toying with teams at the moment. And they'll probably win it by one or two games, actually, I think. So don't worry about it. If you want to see some sad Klopp later, go for it. I wouldn't mind seeing Liverpool or Arsenal win the league. Man City are annoying me. They're going to win 4 in a row, but it's going to happen. There's the future. And I'm going to give you the past now. We're going to rewind a little bit and talk about your feeling after the Liverpool game and how you felt and how you can change that really quickly with another game coming up and another win. Because potentially you and I are going to Brighton, potentially. I mean, obviously, I haven't told you this. Tickets are lost somewhere in the Irish Post, apparently, or something like that. But yeah. I know. No,
right.
I booked a whole weekend.
So we're on to Brighton. Let's discuss. Let's look at the eventualities. Let's say Forest win, because you're right. There's an absolute fickle nature to us fans. But let's assume Forest can win at the weekend. It's not about getting a win. It's such short-termism. We need to go and sort of transform our own fortune. Not transform the way we're playing, but we need to completely transform the confidence in front of goal and clinicalness. We need to completely... transform these individual errors. I think it's a really difficult thing to shift other than praying and hoping for the manager. Let's say we go and beat Brighton.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like yes, that would be amazing. Yes, that would change a feel, but we need to see a transformation over about 3 games. We need a run of 3 wins. And then I think fans can go be excited about actually we've turned a corner. Then, because then there would still be work to do in order to stay up. But we have to win 3 games in a row soon-ish. Do you know what I mean?
Yep. No, I do.
Can't go and win one and then draw and lose.
Yeah, it really has come down to winning 2 or 3 in a row and then still trying to build on that from there based on all our circumstances. So I agree with you there. I'll do a pre-Brighton with a Forest All Over the World fan probably on Wednesday or Thursday. And we will talk about that. I'll get your score prediction. I'll get you to chuck that in then as well. But for now, Matt, with how we feel and the injustice we feel about the Liverpool game that's just passed and the hopefulness you and I feel about maybe getting to the game if the tickets come through. If they don't come through, I'm still flying over to Brighton anyway with my wife and you're still going to be going down to Brighton with your partner, I imagine. So fingers crossed. But if they do come through...
If the tickets don't come,
TV and leave me washed up. Okay, cool. Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for
on
you.
On the shore, on the Brighton coast.
Yeah, I imagine you will. Either way, I think, I don't even know how to sum up this episode, but I think that I can truthfully say that with every passing moment, if every reaction we have feels with like less hope. Someone messaged me the other day, JJ messaged me and said, Chris, I don't even know why I bother. That's how hopeless and in despair you can feel after a game like the Liverpool one. But very quickly, we can pick ourselves back up again. And if we get anything at Brighton, even a draw, it's a good result. But we can get a win. And I think there's hope out there. And we are a big club that's been awakened now. And everyone is afraid of us. That's one thing you're right about with your Marinakis rant. But we can do it. And I believe that. I really believe that from the bottom of my heart. And with that, Matt, have you any final words?
Well, I just hope that the Irish Post find the tickets you've organised for us, because it's really nice that we're getting to go, but going to be really sad if that's now cancelled.
I'm grateful for you for comparing us to a child who's acting out and then trying to make it sound like we're in the right, when actually I do understand that point though, and I do see where you're coming from. It's like, why are they doing this? Why are they behaving this way? Forest are behaving this way because they feel there's been injustice, which there most certainly this season has been, and hopefully we'll fight that injustice against Brighton on Sunday. Oliver Forrest all over the world preview. Matt, before I roll out, closing arguments?
Well, it's all been a closing argument, hasn't it?
Yeah.
It's all just one big closing argument.
And that's what we'll call the episode, the closing argument. Follow us at Forrest All Over on Instagram or at NFFC All Over on Twitter. Alternatively, you can go to forestallover.com. This is the Forrest All Over the World podcast. We'll have Forrest All Over the World fans on again soon. And we will have me and Matt on again soon. Hopefully, the tickets aren't lost in the Irish Post on Post. Matt, take care. Thank you for joining.
Yeah, what's your prediction for the game before I see you there?
Well, you're going to do a score prediction for the Forest All Over the World one, aren't we? If we do that.
All right, bye-bye.
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 Podcast Network.